wondrous power, power to redeem, making sinners clean.
By his power he cleans a leper, open my eyes, on the dead to rise.
Lord, of the name of Jesus,
reaching higher
far,
and the brightest star.
He'll return in clouds of glory, saints of every race shall behold his face.
With him enter heaven's city, ever to
done, the great transaction's done.
I am my Lord's in
heaven. Amen, sing it out. On the last, now rest my love,
divided heart, it's how this place will sit to rest. Forever proud, my Lord depart, with him of every moment's rest. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away, he taught me how to watch and pray, and then rejoice.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us this Mother's Day. Welcome, welcome. Let's take our seats and open our hymn books to page 143. We're going to start it out with Blessed Assurance this morning, page 143, Blessed Assurance. Page 143, Blessed Assurance. Let's all sing it out on the first. Blessed Assurance. Came to church this morning. I thank you for the blessing of being able to gather here, and I pray that you would just fill us with love and care in our hearts for your word this morning, and that you would bless the sermon and prepare our hearts for the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Our second song will be page 172, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Page 172, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Page 172, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, on the first.
Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, joy of heaven's earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Fix in us with
Thank you for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you did not already get a bulletin, but you would like one, you can lift up your hand real quick, nice and high, and one of our ushers can come by and get you guys a bulletin. We have on the front our Bible memory passage, Jude chapter 1, verse 4, and a happy Mother's Day to all you ladies out there. We actually wanted to give you guys just a small little gift today, and so we do have a gift for all the mothers in attendance, whether you're a visitor or a member of our church. We have just kind of some oils over here, so everybody gets one of these little bags over here, and I guess I'll take this with me. So everyone gets one of these, and so we'll have you take one of those. Also, we have some mug options, and my wife wanted me to kind of display these or whatever for y'all. So we have a Super Mommy-O mug that you could choose from. And I'm going to kind of set these in front. If you want one of these, you just take whatever's in this box and it'll represent that mug right there. There's also another one here. We've got Mamasaurus. So if you like some dinosaurs, if she's a little bit, yeah, that could be dicey, you know. You don't want to, you know. But Mamasaurus, all right, there we go. So you want to protect you, all right? Then we also had one, I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom. So, of course, there's a lot of cool moms here at our church. And then we got another one that says, just mama. So if you like it classy, you know, it's just mama right here. It's a nice color. It's pink. And then we've got another one. We've got mama, mommy, mom, bruh. I don't I didn't design these, but, you know, there you go, all right? Today, call her something a little better than bra, all right? I don't know. And then we got another one, best mom ever. Well, that's going to be a lot of moms. It's got some nutritional facts on here. 200% caring. That's impressive. 400% multitasking. It's got a lot of things on there, so... Basically, if you are a mom in attendance and you just want to come down and pick, you can, or if you want to send a representative, you can either way, but y'all can come on down now and you can get, whatever you would like. So come on down. Let's give them a round of applause, all right, for being moms, all right? Also, make sure you can get one of these oil pouches. And so, there we go. If your mom or wife is not in attendance, but she is a member of our church, after the service, we should have some extras and you can grab something. So, I'm just going to keep giving some announcements while we let these ladies choose. So, we have our service times, our soul winning times there on the bulletin. And then... down below, we have our church stats. On the right is our expecting ladies list. Upcoming events, there is a King James Bible conference that's going to be at Sure Foundation Baptist Church. I was invited to go speak there on Sunday morning, and so I'm excited to go out there. We're also going to have a lot of Baptist bias episodes. I think Brother Ben from our church, he's going to do a bunch of Q&As. And so there's going to be lots and lots of stuff. We'll try to email out links to that if you'd like to watch. Some other events. We have two soul winning marathons, one in Cleburne and one Durant. They're over here on our sign-up sheet table. June 5th is the Father's Day floats, and then we have a soul winning marathon in Shreveport on June 28th. The back of our bulletin, we do have a prayer list. So if you'd please... please be in prayer for our church family. That would be a really big help and special. And that's pretty much all I have as far as announcements. Thanks to all the moms for being here. And thank you so much for all that you guys do. Thanks to those who helped with our Mother's Day brunch yesterday. My wife said that it went really well. And appreciate all those who helped with that. So we're going to go ahead and sing our third song. Let's go ahead and sing Psalm 150 in our Psalm binders. Psalm 150.
Psalm 150.
Psalm 150.
As the offering plates are circling around, we can turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3.
Genesis 3, the Bible reads, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for all the mothers out there, and we just pray, Lord God, that you would fill Pastor Shelley with your spirit. Help him to preach the sermon that you've laid on his heart this morning. And Lord, help us to listen closely, give us ears to hear, and soften hearts in the room to receive the message of the preaching of your word. We love you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to look at verse 20. The Bible says, And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And we have Eve is the first mother, and that's literally what her name means or signifies, is the fact that she is the mother and she's the mother of all living. And the Bible talks a lot about mothers, and you know, there's something about mothers that's special, and that's what I want to preach about this morning, is what makes mothers so special, or what makes moms special. And I want to talk about being a mother and just kind of talking about the positives. And really, you know, on a day like today when we celebrate mothers, we should try to remind ourselves of what makes our moms so special and being appreciative of our mothers, because really here in the text it's telling us they give us life. Without a mother, we wouldn't even exist. We wouldn't even have life. And so we should think about our moms and how they gave us life. And that's one of the most important aspects of being a mom, is that they give us life here. And I have 11 points this morning, and they're all P's. And I was just thinking, like, Happy Mother's Day has two P's in it. So it's going to be the P's of Happy Mother's Day, all right? And the first one is that what makes moms so special is they get pregnant for us, right? And, you know, that's important, because look what it says in verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So according to the Bible, one major component of being a woman and being a mother is getting pregnant, and how there's a lot of pain associated with birth. In order for us to have life, a mother somewhere has to go through a great deal of pain, discomfort, and trial for getting pregnant and having to go through all of those processes. It greatly alters their body, their hormones. It greatly alters just all kinds of different things about them permanently. And so being pregnant is a huge burden. It's also a long process. It can typically take around 9 months for a woman to be pregnant and give birth. And that's a long period of time to carry such a weight. The Bible says about Mary, whenever she's pregnant, that she was great with child. And of course, that's just basically signifying, of course, women are going to gain a lot of weight, gain a whole other person inside that they have to carry around with them, and they're carrying all this extra weight for us. And so one of the things that makes moms so special is that they're pregnant for us. And, you know, us as men, we don't have to do anything. You know, our body doesn't have to physically change. We might get empathy weight, but we don't have to gain any weight necessarily, okay? We may be there alongside them, but at the end of the day, like, you know, we don't really have to bear that burden that moms have to bear. And it's a special burden that moms are bearing for us. And, you know, when you think about the Bible, in order to give life unto us, moms have to go through a great, you know, trial, tribulation, and a burden. And in a similar way, if you think about it, that's a model that the Lord Jesus Christ had to do for us. How the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through a great burden and trial and pain and suffering so that we could have life, in the same way that our mothers also had to go through pain and suffering to give us life. So they give us natural life, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. But both processes were a very painful process, a sacrifice on their part in order for another person to have life or to be better off. And so that's a great testimony that moms are willing to go through that sacrifice when a lot of women today are not willing to make that sacrifice. A lot of women are not willing to go through that process. They either stifle the opportunity of having children, or perhaps they even become pregnant and they decide to not go through as much pain and suffering and try to end that early. And so we should be really appreciative of the fact that our mothers went through an approximate 9-month period of time bearing us and, of course, going through that pregnancy. Now, another aspect of this pregnancy is, of course, the pain, right? It says in verse 16, thy sorrow. Pregnancy can be good at times, and women can enjoy parts of it. But for the most part, it's painful. And then, of course, the birth itself is extremely painful. So not only do our moms get pregnant for us, but they go through pain for us. Now, go if you went to Genesis 35, go to Genesis 35. This is actually brought up so many times in the Bible. The pain that a woman goes through in childbirth. Often when the Bible wants to bring up the most painful thing it can think of, it brings up childbirth. And of course, as men, we have no idea what that's like. We can only watch horrified from afar. But at the end of the day, we don't even know exactly what that's like. But the Bible often bring up someone going through great pain or sorrow or difficulty, and it likens it unto childbirth. Now, the Bible brings this up. Look at Genesis 35, verse 16. The Bible says, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. Now, for all of us, we don't remember our birth. We were there, but we don't remember it. But, you know, for a lot of women, they had really hard labor. It was a very difficult process. There's a lot of pain, a lot of screaming, all kinds of different stuff going on. And, you know, this is an example of a lady who had to go through hard labor. Praise God for all the women who went through really hard labor. And, you know, she probably didn't even have an epidural, you know. Think about, especially for most moms throughout history, they had to go through it with very little pain management. You know, today there's options for pain management sometimes, but at the end of the day, like, this is extreme pain, hard labor, and she's going to give birth. Go to chapter 38 and look at verse 27. Genesis 38, verse 27. Even if you have the most, quote, mild labor or the quickest delivery ever, it's still going to be an excruciating experience. It's going to be very painful. But I know some ladies, they go through hours and hours and hours of labor. I've heard 24 hours. I've heard longer than that. And you know what? That's makes women really special. To go through that pain, to go through that suffering, to go through that experience. I know that my sister, she's a good storyteller, but she tells about the first birth she ever had, and it's a crazy story. And she went through lots and lots of pain. And, you know, unfortunately, for a lot of women, sometimes it doesn't even go as planned, and they have to go through procedures, and they have to permanently alter their body just to get through that particular situation, and they go through even more pain. You know, episiotomy or a C-section or all kinds of just crazy things that can happen that are just even more painful, all kinds of extreme, you know, things so that we could just have life. I mean, this point alone is just enough to just appreciate your mom forever. Just the pain and the suffering they had to go through just to bring you into this life, bring you into this world. Genesis 38, look at verse 27. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. Some women not only have gone through all this pain, they've had to give birth to two kids at the same time. That's even double the trouble. And, you know, anybody that's had twins, or experience something like multiple births, that's even more difficult, more pain, more suffering. And so, again, that's really special that a woman could be able to give birth to two people at the same time. Sometimes even triplets, even more with modern, you know, scientific stuff going on. But for the most part, twins, I mean, that's still a natural thing that happens occasionally. And that's incredible when women give birth to multiple souls at the same time. Go to Psalm 48. Go to Psalm 48. So see the Bible bringing up travail. It's a common thing. This is what women have to go through. And the Bible likens it unto one of the most painful things that someone could ever experience. And it's in order to give us life. It's in order to give us an opportunity to live. Praise God for all the moms out there. And, you know, I'm so glad that I don't have to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, we like to think as men that we're so tough, but we don't even have to go through the worst pain. Like our wives have to go through that worst pain. The mothers have to go through this pain. Psalm 48, verse 6, the Bible says, fear took hold upon them and pain as of a woman in travail. So when the Bible likens people going through some of the worst pain, it says this is like what a woman has to go through just to give birth. Go to Isaiah 13. Go to Isaiah 13. The Bible brings up travail often. It also brings up the pangs of a woman. The pangs. That just sounds crazy. I mean, it's just a pang, right? It's like a Batman, old Batman movie or something, or the TV show where it's just like, bam, pow, pang, you know. She's sitting there giving birth, and you got the pangs of a woman. But women are very strong, you know, and have to go through a great deal of pain and suffering. And in many cases, you know, women have just as much strength as men. It's just in different ways. This is an incredible amount of strength to go through this kind of a process. And often women have a higher pain tolerance than men in a lot of ways and being able to experience these things. Isaiah 13, verse 8, the Bible says, and they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as of a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. So again, when the Bible's talking about just people being in great sorrow, enemies coming in, destroying places, they're saying they're going to feel so much pain and anguish. It's similar to what a woman has to go through just to give birth, just to go through that process. Go to chapter 21. So, you know, we sometimes wonder, like, why would God do this? Why would God make this process painful? But, you know, there's always pictures in the Bible of everything that happens. Everything in the world, all the processes of this world have spiritual implications. And, of course, the first one I believe that I already alluded to is just the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through great pain and suffering so that we could have eternal life in the same way that mothers go through great pain and suffering so that we could have life. Here's another thing the Bible brings up, though, is that the end times is going to have a great tribulation period. And it's kind of this horrible process that keeps building and building and building and then has a climax of just the worst pain and suffering right before the delivery. And in the same way, that's to help us understand how the end times is going to be. How in the end times, when we are in the last 7 years of human history or this world's history, essentially there's going to be a building up period where there's going to be great sorrow, suffering, warfare, Christianity is being persecuted. But then it culminates into hard labor. It comes into that labor period where there's this great tribulation period, and essentially that period is of the greatest suffering. In the same way, a woman kind of builds up with her pregnancy and her labor period, and it gets closer and closer together, basically those pains, and eventually she delivers. In the same way, we kind of have that building up, and there's going to be the greatest martyrdom of Christianity, and then just all of a sudden, just delivery. And the Bible brings this up that a woman that, you know, as soon as she delivers her child, she kind of is like relieved. There's a lot of hormones that are released in her body. She's not in the same pain that she was in. It's kind of like a happy moment when she finally gets that baby out, and it's kind of like this great relief, and there's not the same level of pain anymore. A lot of endorphins are firing, adrenaline, all kinds of things to help her. In the same way that when Christ comes in the clouds and then we're all raptured together with him, it's like that sudden rush of excitement. And again, think about the words. We think of when a baby comes out, it's the delivery. And again, when Christ comes, we're being delivered. And so again, like everything about this process is to help teach us spiritual truths and to help us better understand some of the spiritual prophecies that are going to happen in this world. The Bible says in Isaiah 21 verse 3, "Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me." You can think of another way in the sense that when a husband and wife, they conceive, then there's this long waiting process until we have the delivery. And in a sense, it's like Christ came and he planted the seed of Christianity, New Testament Christianity. And of course, now we're in that long pregnancy process until he returns and we have that second coming. And so all these processes that God has given us, naturally speaking, have spiritual implications and overlap, crossover, similarities. Go to Isaiah 66 now. Go to Isaiah 66. So point one is this. What makes mom so special is that they're pregnant for us. What makes mom so special is that they experience pain for us, that they go through all the pain for us. Now, that is just one aspect of pain. We could spend the whole sermon talking about all the other pains of motherhood. Of course, you know, mothers that breastfeed, there's pain associated with breastfeeding. There's pain with just associated with just bearing your children physically, just holding them, going through sleepless nights, all the different pains of just motherhood, of just constantly worrying about your children. Boy, when I hear my wife talk about how she's concerned, I feel like I must not be concerned at all in comparison. I mean, she is just so concerned. She's thinking thoughts I could have never even thought. I mean, she's worried about every breath. She's worried about every blink. She's worried about every just the belly going in and out. Like, don't, she's looking at it. She's like, doesn't it like the breathing, like the belly's going in a little bit more than normal? And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, he's just there, right? Well, I looked it up online, and, you know, it's just like, don't look things up online, all right? That's the pain of a woman is the internet, okay? WebMD is the pains of being a mother, okay? They look everything up, and the nostrils flaring, and the eyelashes, and just the skin color. And I mean, they just worry about everything. They worry about all the hair placement, and they worry about the eyes, and just, I'm sitting here thinking, like, it's there, you know? Right? I don't have the same care and concern as a mother would. Mothers care so much for us, and they go through so much pain just in the life of a child. You know, when their child hurts, they hurt. You know, I'm like, get up, you know, get over it, stop crying. It's like the mother just has so much more empathy, and they experience all the different pains of the child with them, and they care so much for them. And in many cases, they are worried about them when they didn't even need to be. But that's how it is. Mothers just care so, so much about their children, and they do that for us. That's what makes moms so much more special than dads. Now, it says in Isaiah 66, look at verse number 10. It says, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." And so a third point that I wanted to bring up is the patience of mothers. And we see just so many things here that are being likened unto an actual mother with her child, that the Bible is likening how God is going to treat Israel and do a lot of things for Israel. And we notice a lot of things, that the comfort that she's giving, that she's, it says, born upon her sides. What does that mean? Just imagine that mom with the child on the hip and she's just holding it, right? And we just see moms just holding their children all the time, having to hold babies. We see the breastfeeding being mentioned here. They're sucking and being satisfied. And then it says in verse 11 that they may milk out. This is just, they get to just drink until they're just so happy, and they just like milked out. There's milk all over their face, and they're just like, you know, they're so content. Life's never been better. and they're just kind of just like so happy. And it's just saying, this is like what a mother does. Is that she's so patient. She's patient to feed the child until it's satisfied, until it's happy, till it's been milked out, right? And not only that, it bears it. It holds it. And, of course, you have to have a lot of patience because children take a long time to develop, years and years to develop, to breastfeed, to wean, to you have to change their diapers. You have to then teach them how to use the bathroom. Then you have to teach them how to tie their shoes. You have to teach them how to read. And really, it takes just so much time that it takes a lot of patience with our mom. And they're often very comforting towards us. And, you know, when we think about a man or a grown adult or a teenager, somebody acting immature, we say, don't act like a baby. Why do we say that? Because babies are just, they just throw fits, they scream, they cry, they act poorly, and moms have to be patient with them, don't they? And we see that mom is just there. And really, when we think about it, moms are the ones that we all want. When you're sick, your kids want mom. When they're scared, they want mom. When they're tired, they want mom. When you're sad, you want mom. When you're hurt, you want mom. And boy, I hear this phrase all the time. I want mom. It's like, all right, time to go to bed. I want mom to do it. It's like, they're sick. I want mom. Mom just runs an errand, and it's just like, where's mom? We were at going out shopping, and we were just at like a restaurant for breakfast or something. And my wife was just staying behind just to put the baby in like the car seat or something. So she's just like 10 seconds behind us. Okay, and we're like trying to get in the car, and one of my youngest is just sitting here like, we need to wait for mom. Where's mom? We can't leave mom. And I'm thinking like, have you ever said this about me? Like when y'all are going out, are you ever like, where's dad? This doesn't happen. You know, they're just so concerned. They're so afraid. We get in the car. I just turned the car on early, and she's like, we can't leave without mom. Where's mom? It's like, if dad's gone, well, whatever. But it's like, they need mom, you know? And especially for little kids, you know, we always play this game. I don't know if it's right or not. Don't take this as right or not. But me and my wife, we play this game, okay, where we'll just corner one of the kids, and we'll be like, who do you like better, mom or dad? And I'll just be honest with you, I lose a lot, okay? I have to offer some kind of bribe, like, you know, like cookies, we're going to go out or something. And it's like, even when I offer some kind of a bribe, they're still kind of like, eh. They're like, dad, mom. Yeah, it's like, you know, they just care about mom so much more. Why? Because mom's so much more patient. She just has that different aspect, that different energy. You know, dad just isn't the same. Now, again, if they want to go have some fun, if we're looking to rough house, they kind of want to have fun with dad. They want to rough house with dad, right? Dad has his place, but, you know, when there's any kind of inconvenience, sorrow, scared, sick, whatever, it's just right to mom. Mom is the one that they really want, the one they really care about. And look, that makes mom special is how much more patient they are than fathers in many cases. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And, you know, honestly, it doesn't even hurt my feelings at all. I love the fact that my children love their mom. Amen. It would kind of be sad to me if they didn't like their mom so much because their mom is better than me in a lot of ways and spends so much more time with them. And so it makes total sense that they would just love their mom so, so much. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, I want to bring up another story. This is about Hannah. And this is another thing that moms do for us is they provide for us. So we talked a little bit about they're pregnant for us, paying for us, they're patient with us, they provide for us. Look at 1 Samuel 2, verse 19. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. You know, moms just think about things that oftentimes we just don't really realize as men. I think that they're always thinking about the little things, bringing coats. You know, I often will not ever think about the children in the same way. If we're going on a trip, if we're going out, if we're doing stuff, it's always mom that's the one reminding, like, hey, did we get coats? Did we get hats? Did we get gloves? Did we get shoes? Did we get all this stuff for them? And I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, unless if you didn't get it, I didn't get it, you know? Like, I'm not thinking about all this stuff. And I mean, think about this. This mom is making a coat, not even when it's cold. She's, like, anticipating. She's planning and she's thinking ahead, but she's providing for her children. She, you know, and again, moms do so much for us. They take care of us with clothing. They make it look good. You know, if I'm dressing my kids, it would not look like this. And look, there's so many children in our church where they just look adorable. I mean, our kids' choir, they looked fantastic. And we didn't have some uniform. I didn't say this is what you're supposed to wear. Just tons of moms in here, they made their kids look great. And if we said, hey, we're going to have a kids' choir where the dads dress the kids, that would be sketchy, all right? It would not, we would like to take photos, but for different reasons, all right? Again, mothers provide for their children in so much better ways. You know, and again, a big thing is just, she even makes it fit him. You know, if we were dressing our kids, it'd probably not fit as well. It probably wouldn't look as right. We'd be like, good enough, you know, whatever. And it's, so it's just like moms are just so much more special in how they provide. Not just clothing, but food. You know, they cut the crust off your sandwich. They custom make so many meals. And they probably don't even realize it anymore. They're probably in such a pattern and a habit of just customizing food for their children that they're not even realizing how everything's special ordered. Like, they're not just getting the menu item. They're getting it custom made, custom diced up, prepared in really unique ways, all special just for that one particular kid because they just care so much about that little kid, just all kinds of unique things. I've seen my wife make so many unique meals for kids, especially the young kids. She's even made her own baby food. She's made all kinds of special just little meals for them. Unique things for them, things that the rest of us aren't even eating. And she'll even tell me, she's like, sometimes I have to make three meals, right? She makes the meal for the general kids, one for the, like, toddler, and then one for me, you know? And it's like, she's got to make all these different meals, and she's planning. And again, it's just, it's impressive how much mothers have to provide. For the first parts of our life, they physically provided for us. They have to nourish themselves just to be able to nourish their children, and then also make meals. And this is what my wife would always tell me. She says when she's breastfeeding, she's always climbing a mountain. So she, you know, she's talking about like the effort and energy that she has to expend. And it's true. You know, as men, we should be very sensitive to our wife and their body when they are breastfeeding because they're expending so many extra calories already and so much extra energy that we should try to help them make up that gap, not push them over the top when they're already doing so much effort and so much work. And, you know, it's really honestly just really impressive what women do. A lot of comedians make jokes about this, but it's like when you think about the male contribution to life in comparison to female, it's just not even close. We're less than 1%, it seems like, and they're just doing everything. I mean, they're pregnant, they give birth, they feed, they're providing. They make pretty much all the meals. They're taking care of them. I mean, we're just, they're just supplying money, basically. I mean, we just don't really even do that much. And they're the ones that actually take care of it. And again, they're not even just doing the bare minimum. It's not prison food here. It's not prison clothing. It's not a prison experience. You know what? They think about the bed being soft. They think about the home smelling nice. They're making sure that the meals taste good. They're doing all these different things to provide. They're making the little coats. And we can see that care that a mother has that for many of us, you know, without them, we would never even really think about it. Go over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Mothers are very special because of how they provide for us. And, you know, my mom was very, very attentive to my needs. And I remember it rubbed my brother and sister the wrong way all the time. They would always complain about how I got special attention from mom. And I'm like, it's not my fault. You know, I'm thinking this is great. And I remember when I would stay with my sister sometimes, because she was so much older than me, that I would stay with her and her family, my mom would like write out this entire list of like all the things that they had to do for me specifically. It was like, here's the meals that he's going to eat. So you have to go to the grocery store, buy all this food. He's like, John eats at noon. So you better have lunch for him at noon. And I mean, she just has like this huge rules list of like, this is how you take care of John. And it's, again, it kind of rubbed my sister the wrong way. But at the same time, just think about how much she cared about me to want to make a list like that and think about my needs and make sure that I was being taken care of. And look, I didn't even know. I'm just living my little happy kid life and just enjoying just being catered to. I mean, if you think about it, little kids, their life is just so great. They're just catered to in so many ways. They don't have to worry about their clothes being washed. They don't have to worry about getting food and all this stuff. I mean, it's like mom's just taking care of everything. They are just treated like kings and queens in a lot of ways, if you think about it. And they're just pampered and spoiled rotten in a lot of ways. But you know what? Thanks to the moms who do that for us. And they don't just do it 1 hour of the day. They do it 24/7, don't they? Here's another thing they do is they prepare for us. Look at Proverbs 9, verse 1. The Bible says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewed out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. So, and it's similar to the point that I made earlier, but not only are they providing, but they're also preparing for us. So they're anticipating things, and they're thinking of things in the future. And moms are just so much better at just planning and preparing things in the future. You know, if you really contrast men and women, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, women are much better at multitasking, and women just have a knack for scheduling and planning. And I think that's because God wanted them to be able to be, created in a sense to accomplish all the works that they have to do. Being a housewife and a mother, there's just so many things they have to take care of. So many responsibilities, so many activities that are happening simultaneously. And, you know, as men, we're a little bit better at just focusing in on one task, generally speaking. You know, we can kind of just focus in and where women, they can, you know, talk and watch a show and drink and do laundry and take care of the kids all at the same time and catch all of it. And it's just like, it's just incredible how women just seem to be able to multitask at such a higher level than we are able to do. And look at all the works that she's doing. She's building her house. She's hewing out pillars. She's killing beasts. She's mingling wine. She's furnishing the table. She's sending forth maidens. She's crying in the highest place of the city. She's preparing bread, wine, she's teaching. I mean, there's just all this stuff. And you think about a mother, they're often teaching and making food and preparing a table and planning and just doing all this stuff. It's just kind of incredible all the preparation that goes into running a household and to running a family and to taking care of kids. And we should really appreciate what they do for us. They often keep our lives together and they have a good calendar. You know, you should allow your wife and enable your wife and mother to, you know, help prepare for the family and plan for the family because they're just so good at it. And it's just kind of a natural thing for them to manage. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's why in the workplace, which, you know, there's so many women in the workplace nowadays. I wish they were at home. But that's why they often are put in positions of being a manager, because often managers do what? They're planning, preparing, communicating, doing all these things, which suit women's traits often, suits their strengths. But they're just often not the same leader, so it's not a perfect match. But that's often why they're put in those positions. But we still need to put men in positions of management and leadership, biblically speaking. We need to put women in the home. But think about it. They're the manager of the home. They're there guiding the house. They're the one in charge. They're the one running all these things. And in a lot of ways, you know, if you want to get that management thrill, why don't you manage a household? Manage a bunch of kids and teaching them and preparing for them. And look, there's so much to do. And we should then greatly appreciate our mothers and say thank you so much to them for what they do for us. Here's another thing that mothers are doing, and it's very special, is that they're pious for us. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Here's an example of a young man that becomes a preacher, becomes a pastor, greatly used of God. And the Bible says that the faith that's inside of him first started in his grandmother. And the word pious is just religious devotion. It's a good word. To be pious means that you're devoted to your religion. How is that a bad thing? I think that's a great thing. And we see that this grandmother was dedicated to her religion. One thing you have to admit is that a lot of churches are filled with women today who are very dedicated to their church. And they serve their church greatly. If we go to a lot of other Baptist churches and other churches out there, you'll find a lot of older women there that have been in that church for a long time and served in that church and done a lot of great things for that church and helped that church to thrive. And, you know, churches don't only need men, they also need women. And there's a lot of women that are very pious. They're very religious. I know that my mother, she often read her Bible every day for hours, early in the morning. She chewed through that Bible. She loved the Bible. She listened to Christian music all the time. She was constantly thinking about Christian things. She was very dedicated to church. You know, in many ways, I felt like her desire to go to church in some ways may even surpass my father's desire to go to church. Now, they both were there, but my mom just wanted to go to everything. And my mom didn't even want to just go to service. She wanted to go to everything. She wanted to go to the extra things, all the events, all the special ways to help out. Our church has a charity event. She's going to go there and she's going to help pass out stuff. In fact, she was so zealous and pious for Christianity that when she passed, in remembrance of her, my dad wanted to just go out and pass out blankets to people out in the community just in memory and honor of my wife. My mother, because of the fact that she just loved people so much and she was so giving and so charitable, and she was a great role model for the family and how much she just loved Christianity. She loved Jesus. She loved the Bible. She wanted her children to be Christians more than anything. She always told us that. She said, the most important thing for me is that you just love Jesus. She didn't care as much about where we lived. She didn't care as much about, in fact, she wanted us to go away, but she wanted us to love Jesus. But she wanted us to, she didn't care about our jobs as much. She didn't care about, being some great athlete or something like that. My dad wanted me to be a professional golfer. I don't think my mom cared at all. And again, it's not that she doesn't care about me. It's just that she's like, I would rather you just love Jesus. She's like, she didn't care about, the carnal things of this world or being successful in the eyes of this world. She just wanted me to be a Christian. And you know what? Praise God for the mothers that just want their children to love Jesus and love Christianity, and they're showing their children what it's like to be devoted to Christianity. You know, it's a big thing for mothers to, be dedicated to the things of Christ and showing their sacrifice for the things of God, because it helps encourage them to want to do likewise. We see this great faith was passed on to her daughter, and then that same faith was even passed down to their grandchildren. Go to Matthew 23. We should thank the mothers who are pious for us, and they have devotion to religion. They have devotion to Christianity. And it makes a big impact on people's lives. Matthew 23, here's another thing that mothers do for us, is they protect us. Look at verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her children, her chickens, under her wings, and ye would not. So Jesus uses this metaphor to explain to us how he feels about Jerusalem. He's saying just like a mother hen would gather her little babies, her little chicklins, her little chickens under her little wing and just take care of them, protect them and guard them, is the same way that God would have protected Jerusalem as long as they trusted in him. Again, we see that the chicks coming under the wing is a symbol of trust, that they're trusting in their mother to protect them. They're not protecting themselves. They're not going on their own. And in the same way, You know, when we lean into Jesus and we allow him to protect us, he'll often protect us. Of course, that's a great picture of salvation. Salvation's not us going out and protecting ourselves or earning it ourselves, but simply trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ, just like a little chick trusts her mother hen to guard her and protect her. And in the same way, mothers often protect us and they take care of us. And, you know, they're a shield for us and they're willing to take damage for us. And, you know, you don't want to meet a bear robbed of its whelps, is what the Bible often brings up. And it doesn't say mama bear, but that's kind of what's being alluded to in the text, isn't it? Is that mama bear being robbed of her whelps, boy, she's going to come at you and everything's on the table. She's going to claw you. She's going to get nasty. You know what I mean? And look, let me tell you something. Moms, when their children are on the line or there's any threat, sometimes they get nasty, okay? And I'm going to bring up a story that's come out in the news recently. There's this thing called Shiloh Hendricks that's like this big viral thing. Who's heard about this? Anybody? Okay. I don't know. It's kind of this viral thing. I don't know a lot about it, but basically there's this woman at a park, and I guess a child was like stealing something out of her kid's backpack or something like that, just on the playground, doing something he shouldn't. Well, this woman ended up using a racial slur against this other child, okay? And again, I'm not racist. I don't even believe in race. I don't think that's necessarily right to do. But at the same time, you know, if Mama Bear's coming out to protect her kids, you know, to me, like, we should just look at the bigger picture. And, like, you know, if a mom protects her child, I'm not going to sit here and judge the words that she used to protect her child. I'm not that concerned. But, you know, the whole world just, like, freaked out because some person there came and, like, videoed her and she said a derogatory term multiple times and so everybody lost their mind. And, look, I'm not for those things, but to me that's, like, a minor infraction in comparison to just a mom protecting her children. And you know what? I just support women protecting their kids. You know, like, I don't really care, like, what they did to protect them as much as just the fact, like, this shows a mom that just actually cares about her kid. And would to God we'd have more mothers that just want to protect their children. I mean, how many mothers are slaughtering their children, literally killing their children? There are mothers today willingly murdering their children. No one loses their mind. A mother protects her child and uses a bad word. Now everybody loses their mind. It's like the priorities of our society are so screwed up. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? And again, I'm not sitting here saying, like, hey, let's be racist or let's say bad things. But at the end of the day, like, it wasn't just like she's going around trying to get popular. She didn't even make the video. Someone is using this to attack her. And I'm like, our priorities as a society are so screwed up. We're just mad at moms protecting their children. You know, it's personal for me because I remember one time at school, I was being picked on and harassed and attacked by some kids, and my mom showed up. And my mom got out of the car, and my mom said all kinds of things to these kids. I'm pretty sure she threatened them with physical violence, okay? Now, here's the thing. If back then everybody had a flip phone where they could record, and it's like, mom threatens physical violence against these kids or whatever, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if my mom went viral or whatever for choice language or whatever. And here's the thing. I support my mom. Because you know what? When moms see their kids being threatened or taken advantage of or something bad happened to them and they come out of the woodwork and they're a mama bear robbed of her whelps, you know what? I side with mama bear. You know what I mean? And that's one thing that women are willing to do is they're willing to protect their young, even if it's some kind of a sacrifice on their part, a detriment on their part. They have to go down swinging or whatever. And at the end of the day, here's something you should just do. Don't mess with a mom's kids. If you don't want to receive a stray bullet, don't, you know, mess with mom's kids because moms care about their kids. And you know what? We need more moms that care about their kids, not less. I would rather have way more Shiloh Hendricks than moms that are aborting their kids. And, you know, I appreciate moms that care for their kids. And look, obviously it's not because she's white. I could care less about that, okay? I just like the fact that she stood up for a kid, okay? And at the end of the day, we need more moms to stand up for their children and protect them. And we know we should celebrate moms that protect their kids. Go over to Matthew 20. Jael kind of protects the whole nation as a mother in a sense. Deborah protects the whole nation as a mother in a sense. And they kill Barak. She kind of tricks him, lulls him to sleep, gives him that butter and milk, and then just smotes his head off. And again, oh, it goes viral. She's violent or whatever, you know. Who knows? Maybe Barak was a little dark-skinned. Wouldn't that be the headline? White woman stabs unarmed black man in the head. Right? Wouldn't that be the news headline of the liberal media trying to attack Jael? And it's like, dude, it's not about race. Quit making everything about race. Nobody cares. We live in America. I mean, how can America be the most racist country when we have the most diversity, period? Like, wouldn't you think a nation where they're all looking exactly the same, like, they might be a little bit more racist? And look, it's such a misnomer to claim that America's racist and other countries are not. Asians are very racist, okay? They're racist against their own. Like, certain, you know, and again, you have to be careful. If they're Chinese, do not call them Japanese. If they're Japanese, don't call them Chinese. You know, you don't want to make these kind of mistakes. If they're Korean, you know, you don't want to say like North Korea, you know, versus South Korea. And then there's like every other flavor. I'm going to get them all wrong, so I'm going to be careful here, okay? But pardon me if, you know, we make that mistake because they all look the same, all right? That was my comment for the day, all right? But at the end of the day, it's just a joke, folks, okay? Look, you know why I like to make jokes like that? Is because it's not real. We should not get so offended about silly things like this. We should make fun of them. It's silly to get so mad about this kind of stuff. And again, look, there's real racial tensions. There's real problems. Sometimes people get hurt because of these ideas. But we should make fun of them and say this is not legitimate. You know what? Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. We love everybody here. We don't care. But at the end of the day, we also love white people too. You know, it's like saying that you like a white person is like somehow racist. And it's like, how is that possible? I like black people. I like Asian people. I like Hispanic people. I like all people. I just hate faggots. You know what I mean? And we love mothers. And we love the mothers that want to protect their children. And we love mothers that want to, you know, sometimes get a little dirty just to protect their child. Sometimes they have to do that. And you know what? Praise God for the mom. I'm not going to sit here and overly criticize a mother for protecting her children, especially when it's not like this woman was going online trying to film herself or put out videos. It was other people trying to attack her, okay? So, you know what? Nuts to those people. Nuts to those people that are trying to make a big deal out of this or whatever. Now, Matthew chapter 20, here's another thing that, I'm sorry, did you go to Proverbs 4 or where did you go? Matthew 20. Okay, I'm going to go back to a point later, all right? Matthew 20, here's another one. Is they purpose for us. Look at Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. So here's a mom having a purpose for her sons, a purpose for her children. And in many ways, mothers give purpose for their children. They help set a vision for their children. They set goals for their children. They're helping their children. So many different things. My mother, she taught me piano, and then she got me lessons and drove me to the piano lessons, drove me to recitals, drove me all the things. Because you know what? She had a purpose that I would be able to use the musical talent that God had given me for Christianity, for God's glory. And she wanted me to do something with that. And you know what? Praise God, I've been able to make, you know, some music, albeit I'm not saying it's the best ever. I'm not saying it's great. But you know what? I love it. I love that our church sings it. And you know what? I would have never, ever been able to make that music if my mom had not purposed for me to be able to use the musical talent that God had given me. Not only that, we see she sees vision for her children. She sees her sons as having the potential to end up being some of the greatest Christians to ever live. And so she's asking Jesus, can we allow my sons, both of my sons, to be number one and number two in the kingdom of God? That's a big vision for our children. That's a great purpose for her children. We see mothers having purpose for their children. We're not raising losers here. We're raising God's children. We're raising kings and priests here. We're raising queens here, and we should have great purpose for our children. And you know, we should thank our moms who gave us some purpose. We should thank our moms who cast some vision for us. We should thank our moms who wanted us to be educated and to be able to do something with our lives and to have some kind of a purpose in our lives. You know what? Praise God for moms that do this. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4 now. Go to Proverbs chapter number 4. I like this mom that wants something for her children. She doesn't just raise them and just say bye. She has grown sons. She has adult sons, and she's still wanting to have purpose for them in their lives, encouraging them to do great things. My mom wanted me to be educated, so she helped pay for my college. She helped pay for me to do all kinds of different things, and she had a great purpose for me. She wanted me to do something with my life, and I really appreciate that about my mother. Here's one thing that's also amazing about moms is no matter how successful you are, somehow they're just still proud of you no matter what. Look what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. It's the face that only a mother could love. But isn't it incredible? I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're super successful or not. It doesn't matter, like, what's going on. It's just your mom just kind of just is proud of you no matter what. And your mom just has a special love for you no matter what. And, you know, we should appreciate that moms are just kind of on our side just no matter what. And they just seem to be proud of us no matter what. That's the one person that's always cheering us on. You get ninth place in the relay, and she's going to take a picture with you in that ribbon, you know, the ninth place ribbon. She's just so excited that you just exist. And so we should really appreciate our moms for being our constant cheerleader that's always just so proud of us. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. So what have we talked about this so far? It's great, and what makes moms so special is that they were pregnant for us, the pain for us, they were patient with us, they provide for us, they prepare for us, they're pious for us, they protect us, they're proud of us, they give purpose for us. Here's another one, that they pray for us. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now Hannah had struggled with getting pregnant, and she kind of prayed and asked God, said, hey, if you give me a child, I'm going to make sure to dedicate him to the Lord, and he's going to serve God. And she prayed, and the Lord granted her petition and gave her this child, gave her Samuel. And of course, that's the name of the book. The book is about Samuel. How does the book start? With a mother praying for Samuel. There's always a woman behind the greatest men. There's a woman behind Samuel. And there was a woman who prayed for this child. And we should never undervalue the prayers of a mother. We might think like, oh, you know, as a mother, you might feel like your life isn't that, you know, worthwhile. It's not that significant. You don't have a big role. Look, the Bible is starting with one of the greatest men in the Bible, with his mother praying for this child. Mothers have a significant role in this world and in Christianity and in all of our lives. The prayers that our mothers pray for us. And you know what? Praise God for all the prayers our moms have prayed for us. I know that my mom prayed for me in so many ways. She prayed that I would be greatly used of God. She prayed that she would tell me this all the time, but she would always pray, and she's like, she would pray that I'd be a preacher. She always had a vision that I would be a preacher someday. I was like, this is weird. And you know, it's funny because she would say that because I would always get in trouble at school for talking too much. So I got in trouble like every day at school. But instead of my mom just being mad at me being, you know, hyper or whatever, instead of my mom giving me Ritalin and some kind of ADHD medication or something like that, she just put up with me being John, okay? And it was just a thing. Everybody knew John's just crazy and hyper and talks a lot and whatever. And so, but you know, my mom then looks at that and says, you know what, I think you're going to be a preacher. She turned it into a good thing. She didn't take that and put me on medication and stifle me and say he's annoying. Everybody else said I was annoying. My mom said I was going to be a preacher. And then now I'm just an annoying preacher, okay? So, But you know what? She cast that vision and she prayed for me in so many different ways. And you know what? Praise God for my mother. I was such a troublemaker, and I've told this multiple times, but I love to tell it. It's just like in school, we had a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. Everybody had a paperclip. What is it? What's the wood one? Clothespin. Everybody had a clothespin with their name on it. We all started on green. And my mom said, if you end the day on green, then I'll get you a Happy Meal. And I pretty much got like 4 or 5 Happy Meals for the entire year. Okay. I was pretty much always in yellow almost immediately, and then a lot of times red. Okay. And it wasn't like the teacher was real like strict or anything like that. A lot of times I was there solo. Okay. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm not saying this because it's cool. I'm just saying like I was, you know, ornery, I guess you could say. But, you know, again, my mom, instead of taking that honoriness and whatever, she tried to make it a positive thing, and she tried to say, hey, you're green today, you get a Happy Meal. And it was just like, that's cool. That's cool that my mom was willing to celebrate my difficulties as a child and pray for me. Here's another thing that my mom prayed for me all the time, told me all the time that she prayed for me, is she prayed for my wife. She was always praying and telling me, I'm always praying for your future spouse. And she cared that I would have a great spouse and have a great wife. And you know what? I'm so thankful that my mom prayed so much for my wife because she's awesome. And you know, one of the things that drew me to my wife and one of the reasons why I got married to my wife, if not probably the number one, is just me thinking about how much of a great mother my wife would be. It was really important to me. And when I considered her versus other peers, I just thought, like, this isn't even close. Like, other women don't care about kids in the same way or want to have kids or want to be a mother. Like, my wife wants to be a mother, and that was just so important to me. And, you know, young men that are looking for a wife, you should really think about how she's going to be as a mother. Does she want to be a mother? You know, is she going to care and be a good mother? That's such a big deal. And you know what? You ladies, don't underestimate the power of your prayers. And you know, we should thank our mom for all the prayers that they had sent our way. We don't even know all the prayers they had for our well-being, for our health, for our spouse, for our future, for our career, for our Christianity, for our well-being. You know, all the difficulties that we had, all the prayers that our moms had for us, we know we need to thank them for that. Go to Proverbs 31. Go to Proverbs 31. Of course, Proverbs 31 is often, we think about the virtuous woman, and that's what's being brought up. But the first part of Proverbs 31 is also kind of unique and special because notice what it says in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So we see this great passage in the Bible is actually coming from a mother. And so not only do mothers pray for us, they also preach to us. And you know what? Praise God for all the mothers who preach to their children. Preach them the word of God. Taught them all kinds of things in the Bible. And, you know, you can tell from this proverb that the mom's not just teaching, she's preaching. Let's read some of it. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. We see this mother is very concerned with her son opening his mouth. You know, again, it just relates for me because I just think about how my mom wanted me to open up my mouth to preach the word of God. And you know what? Many times preaching starts with mom for a young man. And my mom, she ripped on alcohol to me and my siblings, and she ripped on whorish women. She did not want me or my siblings to be with a whorish woman. She despised them. She told them off. She would hang up on them. She would tell them to get out of here and stop dressing like a hooker and whatever. And you know what? She was a mama bear, and she preached the word of God to us, and she was there to teach us what the Bible said. You know what? Praise God for her. Amen. My mom preached against fags, and she would say, pull your belt up. You don't want to look like a fag. This is my mom. praise God for my mother. I know she likes my preaching because she preached it to me, okay? She was a hard preacher. And you know what? We need some hard preaching moms. We need moms to call it as it is and to warn their sons from the evils of this world, from drugs and from bad friends and from whorish women, from bad guys, guys that have bad intentions that want to get around their daughters. You know what? As a woman, you probably know what kind of guys your daughter should be around. And you know what? If it's a bad guy, you need to warn your daughters and tell them, stay away from that guy. That is not the guy you should be around. You as a mother know the bad women. You should tell your sons, you stay away from that woman. You stay away from those people. You don't have friends like that. Those neighbor kids are not kids that we're going to hang out with. You know, we need mothers to preach us the Bible and teach us so many lessons. My mom taught me so many lessons. My mom taught me how to give. My mom taught me how to be empathetic towards people and to love people. My mom taught me how to tithe. My mom taught me how to open a bank account. My mom taught me how to save. My mom taught me how to work. My mom taught me all kinds of things that I probably can't even remember. Of course, things like reading and talking and walking, I didn't know. Obviously, I can't remember that because I was too little. But of course, my mom taught me so many different things. She taught me things in the Bible. She wanted me to learn. And you know what? We need to appreciate our mothers for the things that they preach to us. So I want to go to one more place. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm going to remind you of what makes mom so special. She was pregnant for us, the pain for us, patient with us, provide for us, prepare for us, pious for us, protect us, proud of us, the purpose for us, prayer for us, preach to us. So we got all the P's of Happy Mother's Day. There's two P's in happy, and you know what? We need to remember the P's of Mother's Day, and then we have one more P for us. So we get 12, right? What is the one for us? Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for God. What is piety? It's to repay your parents. Of all the things that your mom has done for you, you are to show piety at home. It's only used one time in the Bible. Piety is a good word. And we should all be pious. And what we should do is we should requite our parents. We should think about our mom. We should call our mom. We should say thank you to our mom. And you know what? If our mom is needing help, we should help our mom. That Jesus is really big on this. When he was dying on the cross, he looked at his mom and he looked at the disciple John and he said, behold thy son. And then he looked at John and he said, behold thy mother. When Jesus is in the most excruciating pain he's ever been in, he's bearing the weight of the sin of the world, he still thought of his mother. And he still cared about his mother's well-being in her old age. And you know what? We should care about our mother in her old age, and we should take care of our mothers. You know, as Christians, we should set an example of loving our mothers until they die. We should take care of them. When Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees, he gets very mad at them for not honoring their father and mother. Honor can be respect and can also be paying for them. It can be money. And so we should make sure that we're taking care of them financially if they need it. They took care of us when we couldn't pay anything. So we should take care of them even if they can't pay anything. We should take care of our mothers. We should take care of the ladies that have given us this. And, you know, we should be very appreciative of what they've done. You know, I get it when your mom's older, she can be a burden. There's a burden to taking care of an older person. Money, time, resources, all this stuff. But at the end of the day, when you were a child, you were a burden. And there wasn't anything there that you could do to help out. They were having to take care of you. And you know, some of us don't have our mother today to say thank you to. I unfortunately don't have my mother here today. I would love to say thank you to my mom. I'd love to give my mom a big hug. I would love for my mom to get to see all my children. And if you have that, you better say thank you. You better call your mom. You better appreciate her. You better, I don't care what happened. She gave birth to you. You know, even if she doesn't necessarily check everything off the list or she wasn't the most perfect mom, you know what? You should still appreciate your mom. We should love our parents. We should have the right appreciation for our parents. and we should do good unto our parents. And of course, not just on Mother's Day, every day. Every single day. But today is a special day. Tell your mom thank you. Give her a big hug. Appreciate her. Pray for her. Provide for her. Do everything. And let's show some piety at home as godly Christian people, all right? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for giving us mothers. Thank you for giving us women who have to go through so much pain and sorrow and suffering just to give us life. Thank you for the care and natural affection that they have towards their children. Thank you for all the wonderful mothers that we've had and that we do have. I pray that you would encourage the ladies in our church to realize that motherhood is so special, that they are special, that the work and the sacrifice that they make makes a big difference. I pray that we would be appreciative of our mothers and the wives and the women that we have in our lives, and that we would show some piety at home. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to our last song this morning, page 169, Come Thou Fount. Page 169 in your hymn books, Come Thou Fount.
Give me a couple songs. We got a baptism coming.
Okay. Let's turn to page 69. If that works out. Or not 69. What's Like a River Glorious? What page is that? Does anyone know? Like a River Glorious? I should know this as the leader. I'm sorry.
121.
Okay. Got it. 121, Like a River Glorious.
Glorious, it's right in green.
have Brother Eric coming for baptism this afternoon. Brother Eric, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Bearing the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you need your arm. Good. We also have Brother Jacob coming. We have Brother Jacob coming for baptism. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Congratulations. There we go. Make sure to congratulate both of our baptisms. And if your mother or your wife is a member of our church and they weren't present today, you can come by and still grab a gift for them on your way out. God bless you guys. Have a happy Mother's Day. You are dismissed.